And now, a man who campaigned against Barack Obama in all 57 states, Mark Gillar.
Good morning and welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. We've got an old friend back on the show today, Chris Horner. You'll remember Chris as the author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to Global Warming, as well as Power Grab. He's here today to talk to us about his brand new book, The Liberal War on Transparency. Chris, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you back.
Thank you, Mark.
Talk to us about the reason you wrote the book and about how all this ties into the Obama administration.
Okay, well, I began by finding a discontinuity between the public claims of the bureaucrats as well as the political activists, be they political appointees or career activists in government, and what they were saying privately. And I did this because as part of my work, legal and policy, I was using the Freedom of Information Act. So I was finding, for example, when they were telling us cap and trade wouldn't cost anything, I actually didn't believe that. And so I got a memo out of the Treasury Department in the very early days of the Obama administration, acknowledging that under their justification paragraph for cap and trade, they put revenues, and they said that it would expect to raise up to $400 billion per year, the equivalent of our corporate income tax, which is the highest in the developed world. So privately, they were saying it was going to cost an absolute fortune, while publicly they insisted it wouldn't cost anything. And I began to see a real pattern here of stark disagreements between their arguments. For example, with I exposed a lot about Solyndra and the program running it and the Department of Energy, too, and their work with this before it became all that famous. But I also noticed some very disturbing practices, and they involved how to avoid creating records so that people like me would have nothing to obtain. If they created records, how to avoid turning them over. And finally, and in the book I reveal, I've actually got an affidavit from a senior government official attesting to this. They have an ongoing document destruction operation in the Obama administration.
My goodness.
Ongoing cyber bonfire. And they would, let me just give you a quick rundown of the things that I increasingly found and said this has to be put together in a book. And then, as you know, the last chapter is a how-to, how you can do it, how to target your questions, how to target the records, how to anticipate their tricks, and if they pull them anyway, how to defeat them. But, for example, they've moved government over to private email accounts and private computers and even private servers.
Boy, they went crazy whenever they accused Sarah Palin of doing that.
Isn't that something? For example, there are things that don't have to be revealed, but we have laws in place requiring you to keep a record of what you do if you're in the White House, for example, what the Supreme Court said, what our government is up to. It's a legal requirement that they keep these records. Now, not everything that Governor Palin was doing as governor on her private email account was government business, of course. But at the federal level, we have a requirement that if, for example, you are the deputy chief of staff in the White House, or you used to be because you're now the campaign manager for President Obama, when you were in the White House and you are working on getting Obamacare adopted, when you strike deals with drug companies to give them $4 billion under the bill in return for $150 million in advertising to support enactment of Obamacare and promising to lobby for it, you are required to do that on your White House email account if you do it on an email account.
Mm-hmm.
This individual chose to move over to AOL to strike the deal I just described to you. Now, the Wall Street Journal spent several pages talking about these emails and what they revealed, but what they didn't tell you is what I revealed for the first time in the book, because they couldn't tell. The addresses were blocked out. This gentleman, Jim Messina, did it on AOL. It was an AOL account on which he orchestrated these deals to get industry support for this abomination, Obamacare. This was not a one-off. For example, the Solyndra loan guarantee program was implemented using 14 separate private email accounts. They moved off of the account that they're legally required to do things to keep a record of what they're up to under the Presidential Records Act, under the Federal Records Act, and to be accessed under the Freedom of Information Act. All these laws were liberal ideas. All of these laws are no longer necessary, or at least they're inconvenient, because they're in charge. If I may go on for a moment.
Please.
They've really turned this on its head. You've all heard sunlight is the best disinfectant, electric light is the most efficient policeman. That was progressive Hall of Famer Louis Brandeis, before he was appointed to the Supreme Court by another progressive Hall of Famer, Woodrow Wilson. Both of them had a real zeal for transparency in government. Why? Progressives got one right. Governmental authority and taxpayer dollars can be abused. Therefore, we needed laws to require not only keeping records but access to the records, so that we have the opportunity to serve as a check as to what they're doing with the power that we grant them. By the way, they tend to forget that, and the money they coerce out of us. Well, now that these institutions are in their control, and this goes to publicly funded academia, as I go into in detail, and it also goes down to, by the way, your local city councils, school districts, and so on. All of this is covered. And I tell you how to get the information out of all of them. Now that they control these institutions that were subject to abuse, these laws are anachronisms. They're no longer necessary, you see, because there's no threat of abuse, because government was created in their mind for the things they want to do with it, regardless of what the actual laws say. So they've turned transparency on its head. We don't need this. They've argued in court with me that public servants require privacy, and private individuals, as you know, well, if they enter the policy arena in any way, for example, supporting speech they don't like your show,
right,
or Americans for Prosperity, or me, or candidates they don't like, well, we have to know everything about you, really. See Kim Strassel's two pieces about Obama's enemies list, or read my book. And you'll see that they think that, well, if you've entered the policy arena, we have to know, the public really has to know everything about you. And my response to that is, so if I say vote, you need to know everything about me, beginning with, am I who I say I am? No, we don't need to know that. See, that this right is far too precious to do anything to actually protect it. But they have got this completely backward, completely self-serving, completely aimed at keeping us in the dark and them in power.
I think it's interesting that Helen Thomas, and I think you'll agree with me that she's no flaming conservative, said at one point that the Obama administration was the most tightly controlled administration since the Nixon administration. And I'm not a big Helen Thomas fan, but let's face it, who would be in a better position to know that than Helen Thomas? And, you know, when you've got people on your own side saying that you're controlling everything to the point of calling reporters up the night before and saying, we'll let you ask a question if you tell us what the question is going to be. Yeah. I mean, she said that, not me.
Yeah.
So this administration has been a joke, and I'm so glad to see the FOIA information in your book, because I, as part of some of the things I've been doing with Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona, have had a FOIA request denied by the Selective Service Administration, and I can't for the life of me figure out what legal grounds they had to deny my FOIA request, other than the fact that they're in the tank for Barack Obama, it's being run by his appointees, and they just don't want to give me the information.
I'll tell you, there are three exemptions they use to the point of abuse, and I go into those and how they're generally, look, the emphasis, the incentive for the first level of defense, who aren't inherently, by the way, always predisposed to blocking you. For example, I asked under the Clinton-Gore administration for various things. I want to know how Al Gore was spending the taxpayer money to green the White House, the Vice President's mansion. Well, he had the hot tub fixed, had a helipad put in, had some Brazilian hardwoods killed to put in new window treatments and decks and things. But no, there was no meter governing how long the Fabulous Gore girls could shower. There were none of these things he wanted us to spend our own money. But anyway, I got the Secret Service, in fact, to release the first round of records to me, no problem, until it got to the boss, and then they clamped down on it. The first level of, I guess, that you'll encounter is not inherently predisposed to blocking you. However, the incentive is for them to not produce and to leave it to the people in the better offices to decide so that they don't get an office with no window or phone. And so it's always worth it to appeal, and it's very easy to do, and you've got a 90% chance, in my experience, of winning on appeal. All you have to do is just point out that this is an inappropriate, and I show you how, inappropriate use of the B5, B6, the three exemptions they abuse, that even Attorney General Eric Holder points out they abuse. So the how-to is very valuable in the book, if you ask me, but now with Benghazi, et cetera, it's very important that we recognize Helen Thomas saying these things. The Columbia Journalism Review just 2 weeks ago saying, most tightly sealed administration ever, worst for getting records out of. I quote three liberal transparency watchdogs. They're not part of necessarily as interested in their cause or their movement, the left movement writ large, as they are transparency. And they, three of them, have said this is the worst ever. So it's a tightly sealed administration for the following reason. Remember, go through what you know about Barack Obama when he was young. Information is not about, as originally posited, good governance. Information is a weapon, period. Therefore, when he ran for president, all we knew about him was what he chose to tell us in two memoirs, having coaxed two memoirs out of a life that at the time didn't suggest one. All we knew was what he chose to tell us. And we learned this year with David Marinus of the Washington Post, finally vetting these memoirs, they were largely made up, or they were fictionalized, composites, and so on. But meanwhile, you have to know everything about other divorce records of his opponents would always leak out at this point of the campaign. A Gloria Allred would emerge from the muck at this point of every campaign. His first two races ended when divorce records that were sealed, not public information, were leaked out of a Chicago courthouse. Meanwhile, we only knew about him what he wanted to tell us. But he tries to find out dirt on people. That's the Axelrod Obama. That's their universe. Information can only be put to use as a weapon. Therefore, if it's about you, if it involves you, it has to be tightly controlled and managed. If it's about the other guy, it has to be obtained. And that philosophy, for lack of a better word, is what permeates their administration of laws that require transparency, because as a candidate once said, I'm paying for this microphone, and in this case, we're paying for this government. We're paying for these records. All records are presumptively open to us unless they fall into an exemption. And so that's why it's very important to get the how-to as well, because we need to see this. The more we ask, and the more people who do it, the more difficult it is for them to politicize this, because remember, it does still have to go through those first level.
What I can tell you is that if you send something to the Selective Service System, no matter which employee receives it to begin with, if it involves any of Barack Obama's records in their system, it's the letter that comes back is always going to be from a guy named Richard Flahaven, who's going to explain to you why you can't have what you asked for.
Yeah.
So they have already told the low-level employees, if you send us anything involving Barack Obama, then you pass this up the chain to Richard, and Richard will take care of it.
I got through interviews because I have a lot of pending cases. I have a lot of pending requests. And I deal with counsel because on appeal, if it looks like it's going to litigation, you get serious treatment from typically career employees. So I conducted a lot of interviews with people through the course of my work, including the litigation. Sometimes they didn't know it was really an interview, but I was gleaning from them what they've been instructed to do. And I was told by one career employee, and I'll get to the violations. I've been told that the violations are now very common, using private computers and so on. But one career FOIA specialist told me they've installed political commissars in offices that they felt threatened by. So that there's a weekly meeting, for example, in these certain departments. Let's just say Department of Energy is one of them. There's a weekly meeting in the Office of General Counsel by the career staff to tell them all the requests for information that are coming in, because they want to know what wagons to circle, who knows what shredders to gin up, I don't know. And I'm not stretching the truth there, because I've got proof that they're destroying documents regularly, intentionally, and through very elaborate processes. But also, now things have to go out through the Office of General Counsel and be approved by or sat on by them. These are political appointees, and this is a new development. So sorry for that long interruption, but you're probably right. If there are offices that bother them, they're being very tightly controlled.
Very quickly, we have to take a break, Chris, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm Brian Brody. Have you ever lost your power and simply wanted to flip a switch to turn your lights back on? If so, this message is the most important you will ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get off the grid and generate your own supply of electrical power. Solar power generators are now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like running an electric power plant in your own home. Hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, blackouts, you'll never suffer through painful power outages again.
And if you'd like to learn how you can get a solar generator for your family, just go to teapartypowerhour.com and click on the appropriate ad. While you're there, you'll also see ads for solar ovens, extended life light bulbs, and life-saving survival food packets.
Are you worried about the economy? Have you ever wondered if the politicians and the bankers are going to bring the whole thing crashing down? If so, pay close attention. Because in an economic meltdown, non-hybrid seeds could become more valuable than even silver and gold. After all, securing a source of food for your family is the single most important thing you can do. Introducing the Survival Seed Bank, the perfect mix of germination-tested non-hybrid seeds. You get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden that can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And the best part is that these seeds have not been genetically modified in any way. Remember, in a real economic crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. Prepare your family today.
Prepare your family today by going to TeaPartyPowerHour.com and clicking on the ad for the Survival Seed Bank. Now, while you're there, you're going to see ads for a lot of other products that can help your family in the event of a disaster, whether the disaster is government-made or natural. You're going to see ads for things like solar-powered ovens, solar-powered electrical supplies, and freeze-dried food that can provide your family with immediate nutrition in the event of an economic meltdown. Once again, the place to go is TeaPartyPowerHour.com. And we are back. Our guest is Christopher Horner. He's talking to us about his brand-new book, The Liberal War on Transparency. Chris, we were talking about the fact that the Obama administration has placed its minions in certain offices where they feel threatened because there's information that they don't want to give out. I mentioned the Selective Service Office, and I'll tell you why. There is strong evidence that Barack Obama never filled out his Selective Service registration card in a timely manner. And what's key about that, Chris, is that in the United States, if a male does not register for Selective Service within a certain period of time, they're not eligible to hold a position at the United States Post Office, and they're also banned from holding a position within the executive branch of the federal government. Now, you can't even be a janitor in the White House if you didn't fill out your Selective Service card. So that's the key thing here. And we've had numerous postal employees who've had 30 years of experience look at the date stamp on Barack Obama's Selective Service card registration and say it's a complete fake. It's only got two digits instead of four. Those blocks of rubber came in four digits, solid year stamps. You can even tell that they took the year 2008, cut it in half, and then turned the 08 upside down to make 80 because the bottom of an 8 is bigger on a federal government stamp that's made as per DOD specs. So then you can even see where they tried to shave the top of the 8 off so you couldn't tell it was upside down, but it didn't really work. You could still tell it was upside down. Not to mention that it's on a card that didn't come along until 10 years later, and his signature on the Selective Service card, you've now seen his famous signature with the big O and the line going through it. Well, he didn't start doing that for many, many years later. Thanks to Breitbart.com, we have a copy of his signature back in 1980, and we know what his signature looked like back in 1980, and the signature on Obama's Selective Service card is his fancy signature now. It's not the signature he was using back in 1980, so we know there's something wrong there, but the Selective Service system is doing everything it can to keep people from getting records that will prove that. They won't let the microfilm version of the original registration card out. I've asked to see just the postal stamps on all the Selective Service registration cards coming out of Hawaii in the year 1980. I told them to redact all the personal information. Just let me see the postal stamps. They said, talking out of both sides of their mouth, Chris, in the letter they sent me, first of all, they said the information didn't exist. And then they said they couldn't give it to me because I didn't supply the Social Security numbers of all the people that would have fallen into that category because they needed to make sure those people were dead before they released the information because that was private information. And, you know, my thought is, no, the postal stamp on those cards is not private information because I was intending to show that there wasn't another stamp anywhere out of Hawaii that year that only had a two-digit postal stamp. In fact, we were able to obtain a woman named Linda Bentley in Arizona was able, because these two people had died, to obtain two postal stamps coming from the same post office the same week as Barack Obama's Selective Service card, and those stamps look absolutely fine. But I can tell you that one of the little government offices where they do have a minion in place where they are denying things that should be released is the Selective Service system. So,
well, remember that there are, again, there are three tricks they generally pull. I go through all of them and how to defeat them. Generally, I don't know if you're going through the administrative appeal process.
I'm not.
Okay, well, you should, and you tend to win on appeal, and indicate that you will exercise all appellate rights when they ripen, which means after 20 days of no response, you sue, or if the response is insufficient, but also how to get around. If they're withholding the whole document, the burden is extremely high for them to do that. They have to redact, and if they're claiming personal information, generally the basic describing information cannot be withheld as personal and so on. So I mean, we're talking about the who, what, when. I walk through the entire litany of what they try to do, either with redactions, with withholding entire records and so on, claiming pre-decisional. They think that they have great leverage because they doubt you will push it. But if you push it, they realize they have very little leverage. But that's the beauty is this thing is biased towards release this law. And so if you look at the emails I release in the book, when they do put things in writing, or in this case, you can get the information. You just have to fight for it. And that's the thing. What they do is they're trying to winnow out who is serious and who is not. And quite often they will, as they point out, just throw up a very specious refusal just to pressure test to see who they're dealing with. Because all signs to the contrary, you're dealing with people here, and so the people are human too, and they will play their games if they are in fact predisposed to blocking you. So that's why I thought it was important to walk through how easy it is to win if you just push back right, just like when you request right, you target it and so on. Let me just tell you real quickly about other things we found in addition to these fun emails. While the Solyndra deal was going on, we have an email to the Assistant Secretary of Energy for Renewable Energy from the head of the lobbying firm, Solyndra's lobbying firm, which, by the way, was her lobbying firm just a few months before, because she was president CEO of Al Gore's pressure group before she was plucked and placed in this job by a man who went from $2 million to $100 million in net worth with green energy investments. Life is full of these coincidences, I'm finding, in developing this book. But she gets an email from the head of this lobbying firm saying, I'm poolside at Caesars with, and he names the name, as do I, but I can't pronounce it, your 25-year-old senior advisor, who was a 25-year-old political science major, now senior advisor to the Assistant Secretary for Renewable Energy, may explain something. But anyway, we know who ended up picking the tab overall. We ended up picking the tab. But this shows you how Washington works. I revealed some of her other emails about the people she was having over to her house and so on. You can get the records. But here's what they're doing to make sure you can't. They are using, for example, I found the White House setting up having private entities, a university and a pressure group, arrange to own and manage a computer server for the White House to conduct discussions about a controversial UN program. Presumably, by making it privately owned, they're trying to get around FOIA. And I have a lot of records we've obtained showing that that is exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to set up these safe houses. I found them using code names, dead drops, this electronic safe house, cutouts. We found these offices using industry lobbyists as the go-between between the administration and the Center for American Progress so that there'd be no paper trail. But they didn't realize that you can use the law cleverly to obtain their discussions about trying to avoid the paper trail if you word it properly. And so I did. And so we find that they're using lobby groups to serve as the go-between with people they don't want to be seen publicly with in a paper trail. They're bringing private computers into the workplace to access the government server, which they've set up to destroy their records when they're accessed. And when we say search the computer, because on the hard drive there will be a trace, and I'm in court on this, okay? So we've got these levels where the lawyers and the forensic examiners are involved. And they say, well, they won't let us have access to the computer on which the traces of the public record are, because they brought in a paid-for by taxpayer money, but privately owned computer, which they won't give us access to. Now, it's against the criminal code of the United States to alter or destroy federal records, okay? But I have an affidavit from a high government official who is a career official attesting that this is what they've done. I found Carol Browner setting up black email accounts. You remember her. She said she didn't use email. And it was set on auto-delete. This was the subject of the lawsuit Mark Levin brought, where they ripped out hard drives of thousands of computers and the FBI finally found it, but hers had been reformatted, and so on. So I detail the committed, three-level, organized, deliberate, government-wide, politicized, even if it's not always political appointees, sometimes it's career liberal activists in government, the steps to which they're taking, the levels to which they'll sink to avoid creating records, to avoid turning records over, and to destroy records. But that doesn't mean that, as I show by all the emails I do release, that there aren't records that you can get. And sometimes you can just get admissions that they're breaking the law, which I have plenty of. And the good news, Mark, is we have an attorney general to take care of this. So
say that one more time. I'm sorry.
We have an attorney general charged with taking these things seriously. pause
oh, yeah.
laughter. Yeah. So it's up to us to go to court, and so we are in court on this. But I think it's very important to teach people how to do this, hence the how-to in the back.
I love this administration, this particular attorney general and the head of the criminal division, Lanny Brewer, because I have on my hard drive, and of course these are still there on the internet, the two members of the Black Panthers, you know, the ones that we basically let go even though we had a default judgment against them. And I have pictures of them on their Black Planet website waving AK-47s, pistols, shotguns. And the only problem with that is, and I've checked this out, they both have felony records. And the felonies occurred a long time ago. And these pictures are recent pictures, okay? So this isn't them at age 14. This is them in their easily their 40s. I send all the information to the criminal division of the Department of Justice, and they wrote me back and said they were sorry they couldn't help me. The last time I checked, a felon in possession of a firearm was a federal offense, but that particular officer was like, sorry, Mr. Glar, we can't help you. So obviously this is a joke of an office as far as the Department of Justice and, you know, the way Eric Holder is running it. I mean, this is a guy that essentially on Fast and Furious doesn't want to tell anybody anything. So my only hope is that Obama gets voted out and that within a short period of time, those people that he has in place at various offices aren't going to have him to cover their back. And we're going to be able to start getting more information out. Of course, I said my only hope, that's not true, because now I've got your book, and your book is telling me how I can get some of this information that I've previously been denied access to. But the
this
Department
is important
of Justice,
real quickly, remember, real quickly, DOJ actually was shown to be, and I go through this, giving same-day service to people when they wanted information about the Bush administration. And then they were completely ignoring people they found to be hostile just by their name, description, or affiliation. We can help hold Barack Obama to his promise to be the most transparent administration in history. I'm afraid it's going to take another president to keep Obama's promise for him. But I think you know where I'm going with this, which is if he loses, the importance of this doesn't go away. A, you're going to have to keep an eye on the Romney team. But second, you can help make Obama transparent in a Romney administration, if you think about it.
I can tell you this. You know, a lot of people have said, well, what happens when Romney wins the election? Because a lot of people I know are confident that he's going to. Are you just going to drop all this stuff you've been doing?
Exactly.
I was going to say there are some things, some activities that I may no longer do. But these FOIA requests, that's one of the things that I'm certainly going to continue. So
just remember that dissent is the highest form of patriotism if there's the other team in power, and it's not appropriate now when it's them. But the same thing goes to asking questions, whatever your questions are. And my point with the book is I really don't care your perspective. It's like when I speak on campus, and I always just say, look, you'll notice that the other team is in your face screaming, spittle-flecked, yelling, you have to believe the following, you have to think this. And I'll tell you, I don't give a rat's rear end what you think. All I care is that you think. And you'll notice that's a very stark distinction. And I'm confident that if you think, you'll come down with a thinking position. In this case, with the book, I don't care what your perspective is. All of these records are mine. I do not have time to get them all. I'm getting what I can prioritize and wrench out of them, including when I have to suing. But I can't get them all. It all should be out there. All questions should be asked. Non-answers should be noted. Very, by the way, timely given Benghazi. Benghazi was not an aberration. If you read the book before Benghazi, and it came out actually 3 weeks after, it just came out in October, you will have said, this sounds awfully familiar. Ask the questions, get the answers, get the records. When they dodge the question, you can read into that, but also press them. Because when it comes to obtaining records, dodges don't work. There are prescribed answers, and there are proscribed answers. If you're not allowed to get away with just trying this stunt of saying this, that, or the other, withholding the whole document, claiming it's pre-decisional or personal information when it isn't, then we will hold you to account. And the truth is, they think they've got all the leverage because they don't think you will push it, but once you push it, they realize you've got great leverage. They're just trying to weed out people who will and won't continue asking questions. So whatever your question, ask the questions, because all of these are our records, and it's simply improper to say that, well, we'll give you same-day service if you want records about Bush, but we will completely sit on requests that involve us. This is not the way it's supposed to go, and it's not the way it will go if we fight back.
And we need to. And this book is a great how-to manual. Chris, we are out of time. Tell the folks at home how they can get a copy of The Liberal War on Transparency.
ChrisHornerOnline.com. And it should be in your bookstores, too. Simon & Schuster Threshold is the publisher. But it's ChrisHornerOnline.com or your bookstore.
Very good. Well, that's easy enough to find. Chris, it's always a pleasure to have you here. You've been with us since the beginning. I think your first appearance was like 2.5 years ago. And when we were just getting started, back when the show was called Global Cooling Radio. And it is an honor to have you back, I guess, a third time. And you have a home here. Anytime you want to come back, just give me a call and we'll get you on.
I appreciate that and what you're doing. You've been right on time with all of this.
Well, we try, and certainly someone has to do it because the mainstream media is not. Thank God for the internet is all I can say.
Got it.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Mark.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillard.